Father, we bless you this morning as we bow our knees before you. We come before your throne of grace, thanking you, Father, that it's a throne of grace. One day it will be one of judgment, but you've bid us to come. You've held out the scepter, and we come before you, Father, asking for our portion this morning, that you would feed your children. We thank you, Father, and bless you for what you have done in our lives and how all these things honor Jesus Christ. Help us this morning to hear your word. Help me, Father. Anoint my speech. Keep me from error. Cause us, Father, to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. I too want to direct your attention to John chapter 10. Getting inundated this weekend with John 10. Chapter 10, starting in verse 1. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the keeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. And a stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. I'd like to speak to you this morning and tomorrow on the voice of the shepherd this morning and tomorrow the voice of the stranger. How sheep, genuine, grade A, housekeeping seal of approval sheep of God possess those characteristics. They know their shepherd's voice. And they also know what to ignore when it comes to a stranger's voice they will not follow. What are the characteristics of the shepherd's voice? Verse 4 is our text this morning where he says, they know his voice. How sheep use their ears determines how they use their feet, they follow him. And how they use their back, and they ignore those who have other voices. It's not a coincidence that in John chapter 5, verse 25, when Jesus is describing the authority he has, he talks about his voice. And he says, they will hear my voice and rise up from the grave. He says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, when he's talking to the church at Laodicea, and he's on the outside, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone does what? Hear my voice. Now, I preach this message to you because the purpose of the preaching of this message to you is to give you assurance. It's to help you understand what the voice of the shepherd, the characteristics of it, what does it sound like? If I had to ask you that question, saying, describe for me, teenager, what your parents' voice sounds like. What your father's voice sounds like, or your mom's, whatever. I mean, you might try to describe it, and you might say, well, it's, you know, I don't know, more soprano, more baritone, I don't know. You might describe it in those kind of melodic terms. You might describe it in terms of authority. The one thing you'll always be able to recognize is, that's my father's voice. Sheep recognize the shepherd's voice. They're not much on intellect. They're dumb. They'll get lost in a second. And don't expect a sheep to be much of a predator. It has no great courage. But one thing it has voice recognition. It can recognize the shepherd's voice. And what I want to do is, this morning, break down into three little characteristics of the shepherd's voice. Every sheep testifies to these characteristics of the shepherd's voice. And it's nothing mystical here. I'm not going to say, oh, it'll feel this way, or you'll flow along that way. We'll get it right from the text, right from the Word. It's what John describes from the get-go. Notice, first thing, right off the bat, he says, they know His voice. They will hear My voice, He says in verse 27. My sheep hear My voice. As we saw yesterday when Brother Conrad was preaching. They hear. This voice, first and foremost, the first P in the little alliteration for you, is that it's a powerful voice. Sheep will testify, every single one, that when the shepherd speaks, it's powerful. Think about the testimony of Christ's voice when He was here on this earth, the power of His voice. He still waves, forgave sins, He raised the dead. Just by Him saying, I am, an entire army fell down in the garden.
Amen.
That was His voice. He goes to one man, tells him to follow Me. He gets up, leaves everything he has, called Matthew or Levi, and follows Him. Tells another man who's got a subpoena in one hand and a sword in another, riding on a horse to Damascus to kill Christians. He knocks him down. Same Savior with the same voice. Everybody around is listening and thinking something, but he hears the voice. It's a powerful voice. The shepherd's voice, first and foremost, in its power. Think about this. They hear His voice. They hear His voice. In Psalm 19, creation has a voice. It says His voice has gone out into the world. Its line is this way. It has words without speech. Paul makes this reference in Romans chapter 10. But that voice is more of an echo. Sheep hear His voice. Every man has the witness to the conscience of the voice of God in creation. But we hear the shepherd's voice, and it's powerful. It's direct, it's singular, and it's authoritative. He says, my sheep hear My voice, not a voice. Not our voice, as if it's based on some consensus. They hear My voice. Acts 4:12, and there is salvation in no one else, and no other name by which men are to be saved. People who believe that there are many ways to heaven, hedging their bets and also believing in this and believing in that, have never heard the shepherd's voice. You know why? Because it's not singular to them. It's plural. They've changed hearing My voice to hearing our voice, and that's not the shepherd's voice. I'm trying to help you this morning so that to focus in on this whole idea, you're a sheep, you hear His voice. Hearing His voice means you push out all other voices. It's powerful. It not only drowns out other voices, my sheep hear My voice, it outweighs all others. My sheep hear My voice, and it's that voice that they follow. And think about this, if you're a sheep out there. There's a lot of sounds going on if you're a sheep. There's a lot of bleating going around from other sheep. There's other shepherds calling out their sheep in the big pen, the big fold. But the shepherd of the sheep has a voice that his sheep hear his voice and they follow. In fact, some of the testimony out of shepherds when they're there's a different way you treat the fold when you're in the country versus when you're in the city. When you're in the city, and I think he's describing this in the first part of this little paragraph here about being the doorkeeper and things of this sort. There's a doorkeeper. There's a man who guards the entrance to the big pen where all different sheep from many different folds come and stay during the night. And he just doesn't open the door to anybody. He opens it up to the shepherd. Now, out in the country, the little corral area is smaller, and there's no doorkeeper. The shepherd lays down in the entrance of that. And so, in order for a sheep or a wolf to get in or a sheep to get out, you've got to cross over the body of the shepherd who's laying there in the entrance. So this is what he means about this whole idea of a thief and a robber, which we'll see tomorrow with the stranger's voice and their method of entry and their method of deception and things of this sort with the sheep, and the sheep ignore that. But this whole idea of the shepherd's voice being powerful, of being direct and being singular. You have got to get out of your thinking this whole relativistic idea that we live in this culture, that there are many ways to this and many ways to that. When you go to study God's Word and you got 12 different opinions on the verse, trust me, there's going to be one interpretation. It's always singular. That doesn't mean we're always right in it, but we have to understand that God has a specific Word. It sits in a specific context. It's interesting in John chapter 6, verse 67 and 68, when Jesus, when he's with the crowd, when he's with the multitude, and he's with the Jews, one of the most offensive things you could tell a Jew was to drink my blood. I mean, the book of Leviticus says, you can't eat anything that has blood in it. And he says, you will have no life until you eat my body and drink my blood. Now, Jesus could have used many different, I guess, illustrations to maybe try to draw in the illustration of what it means to believe in Jesus. He uses that one. And you know what happens as a result of that? Many withdrew. Jesus turns to his disciples, who were still following like sheep, and says, you want to go away also? And Peter says, where will we go? You have words. Here's the authority, here's the power, here's the singular directness of the Savior's voice. You have words of eternal life. They don't. Not that group, you. And he follows. They follow Jesus Christ as the shepherd. Second thing you need to understand about this passage, and it says it right here in the passage, in verse 3. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own by name. It's not only a powerful voice, it's a what? It's a personal voice. He doesn't come and go into the fold and say, come on, sheep, 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 sheep. He doesn't talk to people in terms of groups. He isn't going to address you in terms of just simply sinner or saint. When he calls his own, he says, Ed. That's specific. Now, I'm not making this up. Look in Acts chapter 9. You can see what he does when he comes to Saul of Tarsus. Or you could go into the garden when Mary's coming to the tomb. And what does he say to Mary? Or you can go when he's at the tomb and Lazarus is in the grave. He doesn't say, come forth. There have been an avalanche of people coming forth. He says, Lazarus. Acts chapter 9, where he says, Saul of Tarsus is journeying, he says in verse 3, and it came about that as he journeyed, he was approaching Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, sinner, sinner, you... He doesn't say that, does he? He addresses this man by name. Why are you persecuting me? Let me get this straight. Weren't there other people with this guy? He has a whole entourage. Why didn't he just address the whole group? He didn't address the whole group. He addresses Saul when he questions him on his activity and what he's doing. And he doesn't say, you know, why are you sinning or why are you persecuting the church? So why are you persecuting me? Now, I bring this out to highlight something here. Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 1 that he is an example for those who would believe. So I go back to his example of when he first believed, and I find these characteristics of a personal address by the shepherd with the sheep, of his name. A personal address by the shepherd, of his sin. You're persecuting me. Other people they said here in this chapter, and I think in 23, they testify and say, you know, we saw a light. We heard some sounds, kind of like in John 12. You know, I have both glorified your name and will glorify it again. And what's the interpretation of those around him? Wow. Sounds like it's thundering. thundering. Maybe an angel spoke to him. And Jesus said, he didn't say that for my sake. He said it for your sake. And look at the testimony you're giving. You're saying it thundered. You do not recognize the shepherd's voice. It's personal. It's powerful. It's personal. It's not coincidental that it has these characteristics. If you're a Christian, you testify to the fact that when the sermon's preached, you leave and you say, you know, I believe he was preaching just to me. There's a reason why you say that. And the times where you sit back and you don't hear much of anything and you're practically halfway falling asleep, guess what? It wasn't addressed to you. You're not of my sheep, he says, remember? In John 10, that we heard yesterday. It's a powerful voice. It's a personal voice. It rings with clarity. It's his voice. But what's the third characteristic of this? We want to spend a little bit of time here. The third characteristic of this voice is that it's what? It's a pleasant voice. There's a certain cadence. You know what the word cadence is in music is. There's a certain, it's almost melodic. There's a na 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 na. It's soothing to the sheep's ear. When the shepherd in with the sheep, and this is what I'm told with shepherds and sheep, they have sort of like a little sing song that they work with their sheep. It's kind of like the, what does it say in the book of Revelation with the 144,000? They have a, like a little song that they sing that nobody knows except the 144,000. And the sheep pick up on it. That's my shepherd. I recognize the tune. That's his voice. That's his cadence. Now, in breaking that down, saying it's a pleasant voice. Pleasant in what way? The text tells us. We heard a little bit about it even this morning with Brother Conrad. The first way it's pleasant to us is found in verse 10. It's full of promise, isn't it? He didn't say, I've come that they might have survival and might barely exist. He didn't say that. He says, I've come that they might have life and have it abundantly. He talks about how we're partakers of the divine nature. And that we have these, what, magnificent promises. Nobody says on judgment day, like the man who has the one talent, I knew you to be a hard and exacting man, reaping where you did not sow, basically calling him a thief. That's not our testimony.
No.
And that won't be yours on that day. And the sickest saint on his deathbed will testify, he's been good to me all my days. You ask a missionary, she's given up many things. We just asked Brother Conrad on the little testimony we had with Gary before. Wow, what all did you have to give up? He'll say, I didn't have to give up a thing. It was totally my pleasure. This is where my life is. It's where your life is. It's like, this is like breathing. Why would I not do this? So if the shepherd's voice is powerful and it's personal and it's pleasant, notice how it's pleasant. It's pleasant in its promises to us. But also notice also what he talks about, how else it's pleasant to us. Can you think of some other ways? Look in the text a little bit further down where he says in verse 26, he says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me and I give eternal life to them. That's pleasant. That's promising enough. But here's another aspect of its pleasantness. It not only promises, it protects. He says, and they shall never perish. Isn't that great? And no one shall snatch them out of my hand. You're not going to get stolen by a stranger's voice. No, a thief and a robber isn't going to climb up the other side and get you. No, as a shepherd, I'm not going to sell you one day when you're old and worn out and you don't have much wool to produce. I just can't seem to corral you a lot, but you know, no, you're in my hands and my hands are in the Father's hands. You need that if you're a sheep. I need those great and magnificent promises. And I need that reassurance of that protection from God that I'm always going to be His sheep. You hear His voice and you bow to its power. And you hear your name and you bow to it being personal. This ministers to you and you say, yes, Lord, thank you for the pleasantness. I believe in faith that you love me this way. That's Galatians 2:20. That he loved me, see, not just saints, and gave himself up for me. That's personal, see. Have you heard the shepherd's voice? Are you making those conclusions like that as a Christian? It's a promising voice. Not only that, as we see, it's a protecting voice. But look in verse 16. He says, in verse 16, he says, "And I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall become one flock with one shepherd." Now think about this. You're a sheep, you're part of a fold, and you know there's going to be a bunch of new sheep coming into the fold. Wow, a bunch of interlopers, or I don't know what's going to be coming. I might not like those kind of guys. I don't know. They might have a different accent, or they might say, "No, he's got one shepherd." One of the aspects of the pleasantness of his voice is that not only is it promising and protecting, is that it's peaceful. He tears down any walls. You'll meet people that you do not even know their name, and you'll be able to have fellowship with.
Right.
Because they're sheep. They know the sing song. They know the same song you're following after in its melodic rhythm. And they say, Yeah, isn't he wonderful? Isn't he great?
Amen.
And if they talk with the voice of strangers, we don't understand that. It's like, what's that? That's not my master. That's not my savior. It's a promising voice, a protecting voice, a peaceful voice. But lastly, it's a passionate voice. Look in verse 18. This is the talk of our Savior, our shepherd. "No one has taken my life away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down. I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father." Why does he tell us that? Why does he tell us he has this great authority to lay down his life and to take it up again? And no one takes it from him. He's not a paid shepherd. He's not on the dole here, and he's on the payroll kind of thing here. He's not a hireling. He's doing this for a job. This is his passion. This is his work. This is his ambition. No one tells him this and tells him that. That's what employers do. You need that. That's a pleasant voice, isn't that? Isn't that amazing? So that when you're falling and you're like sheep many times, sometimes they can roll over and they can't even get back up on their feet. And they can hear the voice of the shepherd, and there's sheep passing by, and they can't get up. What do they think in the sense of reassuring? Well, here's the reassurance. I'm holding on to a promise. I know he's going to protect me, see? And I know he's passionate about his work with me. He who began a good work will complete it to the day of Christ Jesus, not until the day you get tired or until the day that you decide, well, I don't know. There won't be that day. You've been bought with a price. He's going to pursue you. You're the sheep. You're not the shepherd. It's the shepherd's job, as it says in Psalm 23, to do what? Provide quiet waters and green pastures. That's what he does as a shepherd. Not what we do. But it's interesting. Notice what happens as a result of all these things. As a result of hearing his voice, these characteristics of it being, if it's a powerful voice, and it's a personal voice, and it's a pleasant voice, what do the sheep do? They follow. Yeah, that's what he says. Interesting, he says, notice they follow the shepherd's leading. Cattle have to be what? Corralled. Other animals like donkeys or mules have to be prodded. You don't do that with sheep. Remember a guy had a sheep one time? He said, "I had one sheep." He said, "That thing followed me everywhere. I'd get on my riding lawnmower, it'd be behind my riding lawnmower. Everywhere I went, there's a sheep right behind me." That's what they do. They follow. They don't have much else in the sense of skills or defense mechanisms or things of this sort. But it's interesting that it's a sheep. It's not, he doesn't talk about deer or lions. Those aren't domesticated animals. Sheep, they're broken. They're humbled. They follow. Notice what they follow. They follow the shepherd's leading, which means this. If you're following the shepherd, that means you're following the shepherd's direction. Here's the application. If you hear his voice and you're saying, "Yes, it's powerful. Yes, it's personal. He's called me by name, like Saul of Tarsus. And it's pleasant. I see the promises I hold to, and I believe that he protects me. And it's peaceful. I see the walls torn down between me and other Christians. We have fellowship. Well, the evidence of the pudding's in the eating. It's in the following. The way you know you have the ears is your legs are doing something. He has no sheep that he has a powerful voice, a personal one, and a pleasant one, and they sit there. They follow, which means movement from point A to point B. They follow the shepherd's direction. They follow him in the direction of truth. They follow him in the direction of salvation. They follow him in the direction of suffering. Even though I walk through the what? Valley of the shadow of death. I don't know what's around that curve. That could be a wolf that could just jump me and I'm just ambushed and I'm done for. Are you right? But the shepherd's going in that direction. I like that. That's green over here. How come these sheep over here eating? I like that pool over here. That's quiet waters. But this is the way he's leading you. And you follow him. And sometimes it's in a direction of suffering. We follow the shepherd's direction. Something else we follow is we follow the shepherd's speed. When he slows down, there's a reason why he slows down. And the sheep have to slow down. Slowness is a time for grazing. He slows down because he knows you need to eat. He knows you need to rest. Well, if he's moving faster, that's a sign of escape. There's something chasing. There's something behind. Flee immorality, he would say. Amen. There's times where you need to run. The shepherd's not here anymore. What are you doing here? Well, I thought this. No, what are you doing thinking that? He's gone. Follow him. And that's why you fall into temptation. Because you haven't followed with the same speed. But he teaches us these things. The sheep. We follow his direction. We follow his speed. Slow for grazing. Fast for escaping. And stop for resting. Sometimes he just stops. We're going to rest. How can we get going? I'm kind of fired up. No, we're going to stop. And we're going to rest. Amen. That's what our shepherd does. Now, lastly, in conclusion, we have examples in the scriptures of people who have heard the shepherd's voice and they weren't sheep. They didn't follow. I think of the example in Luke chapter 9, if you'll turn there real quick. Here's a man in verse 61 who says to the shepherd, and another also said, I will follow you, Lord, but first permit me to say goodbye to those at home. But Jesus said to him, no one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Sheep hear the shepherd's powerful voice. They don't hear someone giving them some sort of suggestion. We don't follow a suggestion. We follow the shepherd's voice. It's powerful and authoritative. He says the same words in this little section here. He says, for example, to another man, follow me. And he says the same thing about burying his father. And he has all these little different examples. The rich young ruler where he says, come, follow me, go sell all you have. Then you realize these are the same words that he addressed to Matthew. But we don't see these people responding the same way Matthew responded. Some see the words of the, not their shepherd, but of Christ as a responsibility only. It's my responsibility. I got to do this and do whatever. But they never, there's nothing pleasant in the voice. There's nothing personal in the call. And they really don't see the power in it. They just see their own responsibility. Or like the rich young ruler who hears a suggestion. Where do you fall into this? How does this line up in the testimony of your inner man as you read the scriptures and you say, is this true? Is he speaking to me? There was a Swedish film director. I don't know if any of y'all are familiar with the man, Ingmar Bergman. But he would make these films and he was kind of avant-garde, one of these very popular Swedish filmmakers whose films were cutting edge in a lot of ways, but they were very, very philosophical. They weren't the kind that you would go to the big movies and make, you know, millions and millions of dollars off of. But it's told in his life, there was an episode in his life where he was listening to Stravinsky, and as he was listening, he fell into a deep sleep, and he dreamed that he was in one of these old cathedrals. And as he was in one of these old cathedrals and he was moving in and out, he came upon a picture of Christ on the wall. And he goes up to the picture on the wall and he leans next to it and he says, "Speak to me. I will not leave this cathedral until you speak to me." And as the story goes, he stayed there all night waiting for the picture to speak to him. Of course, this picture never spoke to him. And it was from that episode that he woke up and he crafted the movie called The Silence, which is all about these religious, melancholy people who can never find God in their lives as they go around searching for God, as a display of his efforts to get the picture to speak to him. That's not our testimony. We don't look to pictures or whatever thing is out there that people see, the face of Jesus on the side of a mountain or something, and all of a sudden you got, you know, 10,000 people kind of flock over there to go see it and trying to hear something from it. That's not how the shepherd speaks. We testify to the echo of creation. Amen. That's our Heavenly Father. Look, as the glorious day around us, volumes, right, of his tremendous majesty. But when it comes to the gospel, when it comes to the shepherd, when it comes to that voice, we all testify to the same, don't we? It's powerful. Isn't it? Did it raise you from the dead?
Yeah.
Is it personal? Was it for you? Or is it just for other people around you? Have you heard the shepherd's voice this morning? And is it pleasant?
Amen.
When he speaks. And he speaks to our soul. Isn't it promising? If all you hear is the scathingness of the man with the one talent who always thinks that he's a hard and exact man, if that's what you're hearing from God, you're not hearing from the shepherd. The shepherd in this conference is speaking to you, and you know who you are. And he speaks a very pleasant voice. There is a wrath to come, and there's a wrath to shun. The Spirit and the bride say what? Go? Say, come. See, there's promise there. But I don't have assurance. I'll protect you. Don't you want to get your assurance from the shepherd? You don't want to get it from other sheep. We don't hear their voice. I don't listen to church councils, right? There's a collection of other sheep. Or their opinions. Or even the good fellowship we might have. It's good, but it's, I mean, bleeding's bleeding. I mean, sorry, but that's the best you're going to offer is more bleeding. I have to hear from the Lord. We have to hear from the shepherd. It's a peaceful voice. Look how all the different backgrounds we come from. Oh, we even have different theological differences and things of this sort. We gather and we say, yeah, but we hear the shepherd's voice together, don't we? We sure do, and it's pleasant, and it's great. And we testify to how passionate he is to make one flock. Look, he's brought us together. He's made this. And he's done it in such a way that in the day of his power, he made you willing.
Willing.
He didn't drag you in there that you're going to get in here and you're going to like these sheep. You're going to get in here. You're going to listen to my voice scream at you all day. That ain't it. That's not our testimony, is it? What a great Savior we serve. A great shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep, not a hireling. In his voice, that brings us always to the throne of grace. That tells us many times when we failed and we're ready to beat ourselves up, he stops our hand and says, stop it. Who shall bring a charge against my elect? Yeah, but you don't understand. No, you don't understand. I'm the one on mission here. I'm the one who's paid for the penalty. Now stop it. And that, you know, in that gentle rebuke, isn't that so pleasant? Isn't that wonderful? And he says those things to us. Or you've been running and running and he finally calls you by name, like Lazarus from the tomb, and he says, something better over here.
Amen.
I just turned from hell. There's something better over here. The grass is greener on this side of the fence. You want to come eat over here? Come and dine. The master calls. And we come and we dine. We say, wow, the grass is greener. I'm a better shepherd. I know how to get you to the green grass. All those tumultuous, you know, waters that scare us and stuff. It's quiet waters. You're scared if you go down to the water, some crocodile might come out and grab you by the head and drag you under or something. No, I know where I'm going to bring you. This is where you need a drink. That's your experience of the shepherd. I'm getting a lot of testimony here. Amen. I think we serve the same shepherd. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we bless you once again. We thank you, Father, for your Son, Jesus Christ, who is a wonderful shepherd. Every saint who has ever lived has the same testimony to the rule of our great shepherd who has risen from the dead, that he is very, very powerful and personal and pleasant. Thank you, Father. And we bow before you, Lord Jesus, thanking you that when it's difficult to walk, instead of demanding a faster pace, you put us on your shoulders. Instead of getting behind us and pushing us and we're facing an unknown terrain, you lead us. And we see you're there first, way before we get there. And this is where you would have us. And that you never walk too fast, that we can't keep up even when we're struggling. And never too slow, that we get lethargic and lazy. But just right. We thank you and bless you, Father, for your Son, Jesus Christ, who leads his dear children along. Be with us. Encourage the saints, Father, this morning with this message. Those who do not know you, Father, speak to them. See them squirming in their blood. And let them hear that voice that says that one word, live. Open their hearts as you did Lydia's. Speak to them, Father. Not through some picture on a wall, through your word, that you are a precious Savior. Come to Christ. We love you and bless you, for it's in his name we pray. Amen.